host back on the Boss Man Show, special guest out of Brooklyn, New York. Little Caribbean up there. I know how it is up there. She's from the great country of Haiti, the first country to overthrow the white supremacy slavery. That's why I hate Haiti to this day, because they did that. And she represents Haiti out of Port-au-Prince, Oxnell Joseph, with me on the Boss Man Show on your radio. What's up with you?
Hi. Hi, everyone. Well, as you mentioned, my name is Azda. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. I am honored. But yes, like you said, I am from Haiti. You guys could hear the accent. I never lost it. I mean, I've only came here when I was 13 years old. So I don't think I'll ever lose it. But yes, that's about it.
Yes. Hey, I love the country of Haiti. I love my Haitian brothers and sisters. I feel like we in the diaspora should try to help more often, because we saw what they did to the Haitians at the border.
Yes.
That should have taught people.
Yes.
It's all about their interests. They don't, the U.S. is always trying to make Haiti suffer because what they did to France. Toussaint Louverture and Dessalines.
It's unfortunate.
You got them suckers. They want to make Haiti suffer for it.
You said it all. Such a beautiful country. I couldn't stress it even more. Beautiful country, beautiful people, amazing people at that, regardless of what you guys do see on national TV or the internet. It's not what it really is. However, Haiti has been suffering for God knows however long. I don't even think I was born yet, and we're still suffering. And as you mentioned, it's up to me, it's up to you, it's up to everyone as a nation, as a community, to come together and, you know, make sure Haiti could get back to where it was before. But actually, we're going to talk about it, because that's what I'm doing. I've been inspired. I've had my good share and bad share in Haiti. I mean, I lost my mom in Haiti due to a robbery. And you would think I would never want to go back to Haiti. It's not it for me. I have gotten kidnapped in Haiti, and where my father had to pay for them to release me. And it's a sad story to tell, but am I gonna give up on Haiti? Absolutely not. My goal is to go back there, create as many jobs and opportunities for these young people, thinking that the easy way is the best way to go about life. So that's what I plan on doing for actually the rest of my life.
Yes, and I use this show as a platform. I'm Pan-African, okay? So I'm about the diaspora. I'm Pan-African, so I try to tell my brothers and sisters in Central America, you're African too. It's a boat trip. You speak French, I'm speaking English, you speak Spanish because of a boat trip. That's all it is.
That is true.
And
that is true.
Don't let them trick you with the I'm Ladino and Matizo. That's just me that the Spaniards got with your indigenous ancestors and made up some new, try to dilute what you really are, which is African.
Agreed. That's true.
So that's what we do here at the Boss. We give people history here. We give people sports, entertainment history. So tell us about being a full-time mother of a two-year-old son. I tell you what, I don't have any kids myself, but they're very energetic. They give me hope for the future.
I'm actually hoping as we're talking and having this interview, he's not going to come around. But let me tell you about being a mom of a two-year-old. I am a new mom, proudly. It's a lot of work, but it's the best thing that could have happened to me, to be honest with you, regardless of how painful it was. My pregnancy was, it was not a good story to tell. And I've shared it with my followers on Instagram, but this little man, beside God, that's my little savior. It's hectic. I have my days. As a mother, as a new mom, I know when to reach out for help, and I have good family support. Sometimes you have to breathe in and breathe out. And at time, you might want to do it when the kid is not around, and that's okay. It does not mean you're a bad mom. And that's how I live life. So on the weekend, if I want to go for a drink or two, I have an aunt, I have a cousin, I have my son's godmother, I have my brothers, my sisters. I can always call and say, hey, I need a break. And they're always here for me. It's like I said, it has its good days and bad days, but regardless, I have to be a mom, and I have to be a mom 24/7. And it comes with, you know, wanting to be a mom and choosing to be a mom.
No doubt. And like for me, working in the community with your young kids, showing these young kids, hey, I'm in my mid-30s. I've accomplished what I've accomplished. You can do it too. Don't like a bad scenario or circumstance bring you down the rest of your life. You know, because I overcame some bad stuff to be where I am today. And you can too as well.
Absolutely.
No doubt. And also, you are HR journalist. Tell me, what does that do? Because now, are you the person looking at the names of the resumes coming through, or are you the one that is just keeping people in line, not doing nothing stupid, like harassing somebody and workplace environment stuff? What are you doing?
All of them. All of them. From receiving the resumes, taking a look at them, interviewing, firing, training, onboarding, you name it, I do it all. So as a human resources generalist, that is my job. It's a huge umbrella with different hats, if that makes sense. But yeah, this is what I do. Actually, today I was told at work, man, you're the coolest HR. And I've been in that HR field ever since I was in high school. I went to college and I became passionate about it, worked for the top $1 million companies as an HR manager or director. And now I am currently an HR generalist for the Department of Education. I think the question you're probably gonna ask is why being an HR? Growing up and having my first job, human resource managers always be known as the mean person. Nobody wanted to ever go to the HR office because in their mind, a human resource is only here to fire. No, I changed that whole rule. I'm that friend as an HR person. You know, I'm that HR who believes in second chance. I'm that HR who's not gonna look at you and judge you because of an outfit and not give you a job. It's deeper than that to me. It's more personal. I make sure my community, I'm serving my community as an HR. Not to say I will not be hiring the other side. That is not what I'm saying. However, I am here to support and give somebody a chance to a better life. That's what I've been doing. And I can't, man, I couldn't see myself in another career. I love what I do. I hope they love me too. I keep in touch with them as if they're my little brothers. I'm not that old. So, you know, I have no choice but to be cool with them. You know, hey, what's going on? You won't imagine. I mean, as an HR generalist, you see what happened on my Instagram and they follow me 24/7. And first thing in the morning I hear, Miss Joseph, I saw you. Oh my God, that was really you, Miss Joseph? Yeah, that's me. Let's not talk about it. Let's move on. But you just have to be that person that encourages people because you have to have a way of making sure employees follow policy and procedures. And the best way of doing it is by becoming approachable, if that makes sense. Because what's gonna happen is, and that's what I've been, it makes my job easier too. I mean, God, I don't remember last I wrote somebody up. It's not my thing. I don't like doing it. But if I have to do it, I'm going to do it because that's what I'm being paid for, is to enforce policy and procedures. But I make it fun. I always make it fun at work. Always laughing, always joking, always dancing. Whatever you see on IG, decide, probably showing off because obviously I have to dress up to go to work. I make it happen in my workplace. So that way, people want to actually come to work.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Some of the videos, I'm like, I'm surprised at work you don't get in trouble at work.
And I get that too. How do you not get in trouble?
I'm so like, look, I have no problem. I'm okay with all of it, but I wonder, how do you keep her down to 5 and they seeing all what you're working with?
They do. And sometimes it'd be very uncomfortable, but I also have a boss who's a firm believer that what you do outside of work is what you do outside of work without bringing
no doubt
the company or bashing the company. You get what I'm saying? My boss be on my page saying, girl, I wish I had half of the confidence you got. That'd be an awkward comment, but I'd be like, oh, you know, we make it happen.
Yeah, because I'm serious. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, now, personally, me, I'm cool. I'm laid back. I'm cool with it. I was like, you know, she a black woman and having a nice job like that and showing all of that off. I'm like, I don't know how she going to work and not catch hell.
Hey, listen here. When you're a good person, people don't come after you that much.
No doubt.
You know, I just do my thing. I do what I have to do at work, and Instagram is another job for me. That's what I said to my boss. Listen here, let me hustle. That's and we keep it going.
No doubt. Also, I see you try to cater and host seafood events. Now, I'm gonna lie to you. I like catfish and whitening fish and shrimp. Nothing else, okay? I don't understand crab legs or crab boils. I don't understand.
You're missing out.
Lobster. I don't understand all that stuff. I just get the whitening fish, catfish, tater tots, and the hush puppies, and I go with that shrimp. I don't know anything else. Tell me about seafood more and how you cater those events. What seafood should I try? Because I don't understand it besides what I eat.
Okay. Sure. So. I'm gonna tell you something. If you run around any of my friends or family, the one thing they're gonna say about Ogsdale is she's a hustler. So I hustle life really hard, but the legal way. I started doing seafood in my house every weekend, selling seafood, and every weekend I was sold out. Every weekend I'm sold out, you know. And one time I said, there was a chef in Boston, whom I went to high school with. And I said, listen here, you have the crowd, I have the crowd. Let's make something happen. Why don't we throw a seafood event? Man, you will not believe it. It went beyond our capability. It was overpacked. It was crazy. You know, people from every culture came out. And I'm like, wow, that became a thing. Believe it or not, I like to believe that I am one of the few in Brooklyn that studied that seafood business. And so with that, other people started doing it at their house. And I kind of slowed down. Why did I slow down doing it at home? Because my followers grew. And not every follower is a good follower. And sometimes people are going to, because I was serving it here in my house.
Oh, yeah, that's dangerous.
People will come to just creep you out, you know? And I felt like it wasn't safe anymore. This is where I live. This is where my son resides. You never know who you're going to come across, you know, with the comments I'll be having on Instagram. So I stopped making seafood on the weekend, which was very unfortunate because I was making good money out of it. So with my events, I've been traveling. And then tomorrow, this promoter hit me up and said, hey, we're having an event and we'd like for you to cater seafood. Boom. I'm going at it tomorrow. So every time I have an opportunity or I have a promoter hit me up or someone or a party, I've done a lot of catering for parties and first communion and things like that, I would just make it happen. So that is, what about my seafood boil? It does have crab legs, eggs, potato, corn, shrimp, mussels, and fried plantain on the side where they could eat it with the gravy. So us Haitian, we do fried plantain, and not a lot of people know about the fried plantain besides people from the island and mostly Spanish. So given that, you know, putting the gravy on it and eating your crab, amazing. I wish you liked that because I would have said, when you come here, I'll let you judge yourself.
I may let me try that because I need to try new things. No, I'm a picky eater. I will not lie to you about that. I'm a real picky eater. When I find something I like, I go with it.
Try it. You'll come back for more. That's all I got to say.
Okay, I'm going to take your word on that. Take your word on that for sure. Tell us about your retail store, Le Marche, out in Haiti.
Le Marche.
Okay.
It's a French word that stands for, back then, Le Marche was more for like poor people. They will see Le Marche as people like my mom, you know, middle class who will go and have a little thing somewhere and different people just selling things. But I put it in a classy way, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I did not want to use that word in Haiti, Le Marche, as in only poor people could do it or, you know, that's how they look at it. So then I went back home. I went crazy about having a store. In a store where I could bring brands like Fashion Nova, Shein, you know, some well-known brands that I've worked with. And so I'm going to have different areas in my store because people in Haiti would buy it and, you know, with the shipping costs, and it's a lot. So having to do that, it gives them the opportunity of, number one, not having to go online and have to pay mad money for the shipping to go to Haiti. Now they have a store where they could actually go. It's like going to a Macy's, and there's like Calvin Klein, Nike, and different brands. So they get to see that in a, you know, a store. So that's what Le Marché is about, is having different brands. Hoping to open my door by next month on my birthday for the grand opening. And I've been doing it online, but now it's going to be a physical store.
No doubt. Hey, you are definitely a hustler. I'm going to tell you. Hustling, I started off hustling young. I was selling candy, lemonade, CDs, DVDs. I used to burn all the CDs. I was the CD and DVD man, you know. And I ain't gonna lie, I sell porn too. I had all the I had all the booty talks, hey, ghetto
works.
All the ghetto booties you wanted, all that asses. I had all that, and I was doing it at the high school. Wow. Like, I got suspended one time. I got caught in the bathroom.
I was gonna ask about that too.
Did I got caught in the bathroom making one of them porn transactions. I got set up.
Oh man.
It's like, oh, what, all that ass? Yeah, all that ass.
You tried.
Yeah, I took my 10 days off. Okay. I was on out to school for school bus drop. Hey bro, I got it, bro. It ain't hurt me, give me 10 days. It's more time to burn CDs and DVDs. It ain't hurt me none. Give me 10 days. Screw
I hear
you.
That.
So yeah, radio, consulting, marketing. Hey, I'm hustle too. Hustle real hard. Now, how'd you become an influencer on the IG tip? Because how did you get your breakthrough in that regard?
Man, let me tell you something. And for anyone listening to me right now, in life, in this life, you only need one shot at something. One shot. When it's your time, and you're going to shine regardless. How did I would like to answer that question, and I don't even have an answer to it. One video. I'm a goofy woman as well. I like to dance. I mean, hello, we're from the island. Every now and then we want to wine, we want to do certain things. And I was actually about to drop my son to my aunt, and the music was so good, I got out the car and started dancing and whining to it. Boom. And one day that video went up to 2 million. And I woke up the next day from 3,000 followers on my Instagram. It went up to 15,000. Honestly speaking, I said, who licked my video? Is it an ex? What happened? I'm starting to think every single thing in this world. I'm like, from 3,000 to 15,000, something is not right. What is going on with my name out there? Then I'm calling my friends, and my friends are calling me. What is going on? As I'm talking, like, in the midst of me telling you this, it was just followers after followers. Every day I was getting like 5,000, 10,000. And now I'm almost at 150,000. It was that one video, and I ran with it. You know, I started making more videos of me dancing, and I started having all these brands reaching out. You know, how much can we pay you to wear our clothes or shoes, whatever it was. And my emails every day is just going crazy. Boom. I'm an influencer too. Add it to my resume.
Oh, no, hey. It's all because you have a vibrant smile and you use what God gave you very well when you start dancing and twerking. I'm being PC as I can on this radio.
I mean, listen here. You're lying. I think it's the smile, personality, and the body. I'm blessed with a cute little body. I'm a small little person, believe it or not.
But you pack punch though. Hey,
I'm one, but I do have the boobs and, you know, a little booty and, you know, the shape, and boom.
Yeah,
here I am.
Back of punch. So, I mean, you know, I'm trying to keep it FCC compliant and not say what I really could say. I don't want to get no fine for saying the wrong thing. me too. He said the wrong thing. Take the boss master off the radio. Screw that guy. He messed up. So treading lightly in what I was saying.
Man.
I don't want to get canceled this week, you know? I want to get canceled. Lord, they canceled the show. Lord, they canceled me. But yeah, I feel you though. Hey, it's definitely good that you're a hustler, like you said, like trying to be there for you and your son, you know. And talk about Brooklyn. I love it because it's so diverse. So many people from the diaspora in the Caribbean are up in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and so to me, that's the borough I mess with. Now Barclays Center, where I go to work at, is gentrified like crazy. That ain't the real BK, though.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah.
So. I love BK. When I first left Haiti, this is where I lived with my dad for a little bit. Went to high school for a short period of time before I moved to Boston. BK is home. It's my second home. That's what I say. And I always knew I would come back here. I've only been back here for 5 years because I grew up in Boston. But why do I like BK? As crazy as it is, and I know a lot of people said it, nah, who wants to be? It's the ghetto. You know, sort of, kind of. It is the ghetto. But walking out of my house, although I do drive and have my own car, but, you know, having the honor of just walking out a block away, here's the nail salon, here's the supermarket, here's the Home Depot, here's BJ's. How amazing is that? That's amazing, no? Having to see so many different cultures and background, I die for different cultures, Jamaican, Trinidadians, Guyanese. I love it. You know, it's like, I feel like it's like a Haiti, but with different little countries inside of it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so it gives me joy. It gives me joy because I'm not stuck in just one community. You know, it's so many different people. And I like that my son is seeing that as well. You know, it's, you can never sleep in Brooklyn. You know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I need some jerk chicken. I'm getting some jerk chicken. I need some Chinese food. I'm getting some Chinese food. You can't go wrong with that. I love Brooklyn.
Yes, I do too. It's my favorite New York stop. The garden is the garden, but I like going to Brooklyn and getting to explore BK when we come up that way. I love it. And I like New York. I don't like the cold weather.
I know.
Like, you're from the island. How do you do in cold weather?
I don't like it, but I don't like the heat either, if that makes sense.
See, I love the heat.
I don't. It gets me very frustrated. The only reason why I like the heat because I'm always almost half naked with my outfit. So, you know, that I like about it. But winter, I kind of like the fact that we have different seasons. And I'm so much into fashion. Having to look forward to each season so I could dress up to it is where I guess I get the excitement from. But besides the snow that I completely hate, I could deal with the cold.
I can't drive in snow. I wrecked my car in 06 in snow. I haven't driven snow since. Like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, it actually happened to you? Oh,
yes.
Wow.
I wrecked my rig who I had tricked out. I was going to get some barbecue with a female I was dating at the time. And slid out, ran into a tree, messed up my whole front end. And, yeah, it was.
On top of me giving you some seafood, I might have to give you some driving lessons, you know. It's okay. I got you.
When it snows in Atlanta, I don't come out of the house.
Oh, God. I mean, the snow in Atlanta will be like that little, but y'all so dramatic about it. Like, come on. Like, y'all be getting me upset. I just be like, did they just close school and everything
yes,
because
look,
of that?
It's a snow. I'm not leaving the house. I can't do it. I don't want to wreck my rig again.
Let me tell you, I love Atlanta, but it's a joke. Okay?
Hey, next time you come to Atlanta, I want you to just enjoy the humidity and the heat here. Enjoy that. I want to show you the Jordy took today's 84 degrees and humid is all get out.
I hear that.
I love it. Like, you know, I'm in my nice red shirt. You know, it's all good. So, yeah, like, yeah. That last time we had that ice storm in, like, 14, I didn't come out of the house for a week.
Wow.
I ate canned goods for a week.
That is serious. That is very serious.
We don't have salt here. We don't have salt here.
Yeah, but I don't even think you need that much salt, to be honest. What? Like, it's not that bad. It's not that bad comparing to what we be having. It's really not that bad.
Yeah,
I
don't have a snow shovel or a blower, whatever y'all use to get out, dig out your driveway. I don't have done that. I'm just going to sit here and watch it melt whenever it melts. Like, hey, melt, please.
can't.
Melt, please, faster. Please, melt. I get snowed here in, like, February.
Wow.
And I was in the house 4 days. Like, all right, man. Look.
That's the problem.
Yeah, so when I see snow in the forecast, I'm like, yeah, I'm in the house forever.
Staying home.
I'm not going nowhere. Y'all see me when it melt. So, yes. So, let me ask you this. When you come to Atlanta, if you ever here, what's your favorite thing to do when you come to Atlanta? What's, where are you going to go to the club? Going to go to the mall? You going to go eat? What do you do when you come here?
Actually, I went downtown Atlanta with my, I have a good friend of mine, Rochelle. She lives here and we grew up in Haiti. I believe I went for her engagement party. We went downtown. I like the vibe, the restaurants. She took us to the mall. I don't remember.
Lang's Mall or Phillips Mall, which in Buckhead, which one?
I think it was Phillips Mall, I think.
Yeah. We can tell y'all tourists, we local, we don't go there. The locals don't go there. We don't go there, them two malls. So yeah, y'all never on tourist tipping.
But I'm not gonna lie, I feel like everything was so far.
It
and
is.
That was like, I'm like, oh my God, how long do we have to drive that far to go to the store? And she's like, yeah, girl, we have to.
Yes. Like everything is spread out in Atlanta. That's correct. Traffic is gonna always be terrible. And we gotta be careful for shysters.
The houses, let me tell you something.
Yes.
I am definitely gonna invest in y'all properties. The houses are to die and kill for. Love them.
Yes. A lot of land here. And it's cheaper than New York land.
Who you telling?
And no income. Well, y'all income tax is high than ours, but it's pretty high in New York compared to Georgia.
Super high.
Yeah, so between the city taxes, the state taxes, yeah, ugly. But I like I love to visit New York. I got friends over in Jersey too, Newark, East Orange, Hackensack, Montclair, Secaucus. Mm-hmm. I got friends over there across the water.
You're just a busy guy. Let me tell you that much.
Yeah, I miss all that stuff up there. I missed coming out last year. I did miss that. I'll be there Christmas Day for Knicks and Hawks. At the garden, I'll be up there. So it's all good. I love New York. I hope it's not too cold Christmas Day. I'm praying.
It's actually going to be very cold. Sorry to disappoint.
Like, I don't have like a big coat. So I'm wearing like hoodies over hoodies.
No, you can't do that when it's Christmas time here in New York. I'm sorry, but you got to run to Burlington and grab a nice coat that's going to keep you warm. Sorry, but that's how it is.
I don't have one.
Unless you're trying to get sick.
Don't have a nice coat. I have like pullovers and quarter zips and hoodies.
Burlington Coat Factory got you covered. Don't say I didn't tell you anything.
Okay, I got you. I got you. Well, Oxdale, thank you for your time tonight. It was very fun to talk to you on the show. Do this again real soon. And I will see you soon because I'm coming your way.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you. And let's do it again.
Will do. Folks, it's Oxdale Joseph from the Boss Man Show. Rosedale on Instagram. Follow her today. See her dancing, her smile on your gram.